I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
At Sleep Outfitters Outlet, great sleep is a big deal. Save 40 to 60% every day on every Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. Queens as low as $249. Customer exchanges, closeouts, and floor samples. Inventory changes daily, so come in for your dream deal today. With no credit needed financing, expert advice, and up to 60% off retail, it's never been easier to get the sleep and savings you deserve. Go to sleepoutfittersoutlet.com for financing details and to find a store near you.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
The History Maker this week is someone who has and continues to create music history with his work. Born in 1947 in post-war Germany, Wolfgang Fluhr made his name between 73 and 87 during the pioneering electronic era of the band Kraftwerk. After almost 10 years, he returned in 96 to music with the band Yammo, which is when I met him last. After his biography, Ich war ein Roboter, I was a robot, was released in 2000, Ralf Hütter and Florian Schneider filed a lawsuit disputing his accounts of his time with the band, and the biography had to be changed. At the beginning of March 2022, Fluhr released Magazine One, collaborations with many musicians, including Peter Hook, Claudia Brücken, Midge Ure, Carl Cox, Juan Atkins, and Maps. The list goes on, and all produced with Peter Duggal. This album is a masterpiece, one where he's truly found his own voice.
Well, Wolfgang Fluhr, welcome. I have to say, I've been thrilled and excited to be the receiver of your emails over the past few weeks, and to know how much you are excited about your success of this album, Magazine One, and to be part of that. And that has been something wonderful, because I love the fact that someone who has been so successful in their life can appreciate that sort of success as well. I want to connect that to something in a second, but I just want to say that I believe you've created a masterpiece. And I will probably come to that through the questions that I asked during this interview. But I want to start with this. You're one person who seems to be able to appreciate the moments in life. You appreciate the small things, like a landscape, a sandwich. You appreciate the big things as well. And have you always lived in the moment? And when did you start appreciating the moment?
It is my education. I think I was always a very vivacious boy, given from my mother, I think, and my brothers were too. So I was not or better said, I was different to my twin brother. So we are not from one egg, we are different eggs. So he was more the foreseeing guy, and he was thinking about everything, resuming, and he was analyzing everything. So I was more so the forward guy, you know, and I did what I wanted to do. I had always pressure in handicraft and thinking and a lot of imaginary in my head. So there was no time for thinking over if it is good or bad. I just did always what I wanted to do in that very moment. So in the moment, you think about it, this moment is already gone, and the next is the future. So there's no time to think about a lot. And if you think too long, it's gone. So ideas must be fulfilled in this very moment you have them. And in music and in lyrics writing, this is very important.
Well, the idea of a magazine is in essence a moment in time. It's a sort of snapshot of the society at any given moment from the point of view of the people that are involved in the magazine, from the editor's point of view. And if we take that analogy sort of further to obviously your album, Magazine One, then it feels like it is a snapshot of you at a particular time, in essence, almost the present when it was made. And it's a snapshot of your views and how you see the world and everything like that. Is that how you see it in terms of its concept?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Steve. So even if we used the last 5 years, but in my age, 5 years is a snapshot, you know, and the feelings and the storage which came in my life, in my head, that were very important to me. Especially the last song. The crazy thing is when we talked the last time, it was the reason was of war. You remember, it was The Little Child, my first song after Kraftwerk, and we had the Bosnian War, you know. That was the first time we met and spoke together. You interviewed me the first time in my life. You were the one to interview me. When was that? On the Cologne Fair?
Would have been in the late 90s, wouldn't it, I think?
Yeah, maybe. And now, again, we have another thing, another war also in Europe. And I have prepared a song for that, but not in the sight of a war, because when we started that song, the last song on the album, we had no war in the Ukraine. So this is, there's no coincidence, but it happened. So we speak again about war. Is that not crazy?
Well, I think there's no coincidence, but I think this is a zeitgeist in a sense that you've created this track and referring obviously to the Second World War, but maybe you can tell me, because it's called Say No, and it has a poem by Wolfgang Borchardt featured on it, which you wonderfully speak on it, or the excerpts of that poem. Can you tell me a little bit about Borchardt and why he and his poetry was important to you?
Yes, I love Wolfgang Borchardt's poetry since I can remember, since my youth. We had them in my school, maybe I was 17. I discovered the lyrics of him with our German teacher. He brought it to us, and the short sentences about war and all his descriptions, what he has experienced with war as a soldier, that really hurt my heart. And also his writing style was much to my much to my delight. I learned writing from him, because I write today my own books and stories, and always copied a little bit of him. But I make book readings from his books in churches in Germany, in schools, in clubs sometimes, and it's always a big success. The people like how I am reading him. I lent him my voice because I think we are brothers. He was he died in the same year when I was born. So I was born in 1947 in July, and he died in the same year in October with his first big tale, which was played in a theater in Hamburg then, The Outside Man, also Draußen vor der Tür. That was his most famous tale. And many of them were filmed, I think, also. But this track, which I have chosen for my album, I always wanted to have him as a tune. And in music, you know. And when I worked with Peter and his partner, who sent us that little soundtrack, which inspired me immediately, extremely at once. This is the music. It was just a little soundtrack, you know, but it hit my heart and said, this is fitting for Wolfgang Borchert. And it was perfect for me. I was, as the English said, flabbergasted when I heard it, you know. And then I practiced with my microphone here on the side for 2 days to get the right mood to think I am Wolfgang, you know. I always do when I'm on stage, and I try to bring his voice to the people. I think I'm his brother, you know. And I think we did a good work with this song.
I mean, he rebelled against the Nazi dictatorship. He was a young man at the start of the war. I mean, it's quite fascinating, his story. And he passed around literature when he was in the Bundeswehr, the conscripted German army during the war. And he was part of a movement called Trummel Literatur, which is rubble literature, if you translate it into English. And you were born into the rubble after the Second World War in Germany, weren't you? What impact does it have on you if you're on an age where you were born so close to a war and you're in the remnants, you're born into the remnants of that war? What effect do you think that has had on your whole life?
That was not too much, because we were children, little children, and we played in the streets of Frankfurt, which was completely broken, which was down by the Allied troops from the bombs. And our house in Frankfurt, Sachsenhausen, was not bombed, fortunately. So we lived there with my whole family and my great-grandmother. And we had a wonderful life with children. The streets were full of children. After the war, the families made children after children, because we had so less. Most of the young men died in the war. So Germany needed new generations, you know. So I cannot believe that we were unhappy then. We did not know what happened before us. So sometimes we found some dead soldiers in the rubbish houses where we were always running around in the cellar and so on, searching for some things. It was really, really spooky. My childhood, we had nothing to play, but in the streets in summer, they were very hot, always absolutely hot. And yeah, we didn't need much. So war was not always in our brain, that is the result, because we did not know anything else. A clean city, we did not know that. At first, later, when I became, I was in school and we had some history lessons about war, and I was 16, I think, my brain started to become interest in the past of Germany, why all of these things happened, and with the Jewish and everything, but what was so nasty then, you know. And then as I started to get more interest in literature about it, I read and my heart broke 20,000 times, you know. And I became full of hate against my father's generation. It was very hard, and it led to that I quit my services, which I had to do. The army was calling for me when I was 17 or 18, I think. And it was not so easy then to get through that. I had a big law case, and I had to explain my feelings, why I did not want to take a gun in my hand. I swore to the judge, I never would do this. And if you would not allow me to make something different, like a civil service in a hospital, maybe, I was prepared for that already, I would go also into the jail. So don't call me to them. I would never take. I'm not able to this. I'm very sensitive. I'm an artist, and forget it. So at least the four young men on that afternoon, all of them lost. I was the only one who was allowed to go to the hospital and have a civil service.
How did that hate to your father's generation express itself? Did you confront your father?
Did you confront people of his generation? What did you say?
Yeah, I said to him, Papa, I don't go to the military. You can do what you want. And he said, yeah, you are too childish. I know. You go to there and you become a real tough man. I said, I don't need that. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. And my father was not so much in arts, you know, my mother more. My mother had nothing against that, but my father was really strong, and my both brothers were always taken before me. Look, do you always have to do your own thing? Do you have to have your own head? He asked me always. I said, why not? Because I don't want it. So he was very strong and he was very majestic. So I was always different to my brothers. They were easy handling. I not.
So what role did you
play against my father? My father was my first winning, so I fought it against him.
What role then did music play in your early life? Was it a form of escape? Or was it a form of protest? What role was it for you?
Music was always joy to me because, you know, I grew up with music. My parents, they're very, they lived a party life in the weekends. It was my mother. She was very vivacious. She was very beautiful and she loved to dance. And they met often parties in our home because there were no clubs, no discotheques in the 50s, you know. And they invited friends and they made dinner and they danced afterwards. They made the German Bowle, that is wine with fruit, you know, and they got drunken, of course, and it was louder and louder and happier. And I always heard this wonderful melodies of the South American music, which my mother liked, from rumba and mamba, zamba, and foxtrot, and this style of music, which is very, very full of melodies. And this, I think this really trained me, and this influenced me in all my life. This is which I still have in me. And this is why I also was happy with Kraftwerk, because they had so romantic melodies in their music compared with technique, to record it technically, not with nature instruments, but with synthesizers, and which is not really a natural sound, but it could sound natural if you have the right turns, you know, knobs and the filters. But anyway, the melodies was it which inspired me most of them. And then I noticed that's already in me. And afterwards, when I left Kraftwerk, it was still in me, but I had to invent it. I have to refine and to invent me completely new after my split with them, because I was only a drummer boy then, as you remember. And to find myself, I had to have, I think, this hard confrontation with the war in Bosnia. Then when we met, I had just made my first song and my first lyrics for the children of Sarajevo, and this little child track that made me a bit proud, and we wanted to make this benefit track for them. And I must say today, at least it helped me more instead of them to find my musicality and my melody making.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
I mean, another connection to Borchardt, I just finished with a point about him, is that he tore up and threw away his early poems because he was looking at his legacy and saying the early stuff wasn't as good as the later stuff, and I would like to leave my later stuff so people understand my legacy, which is apparently what he did.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In many ways, I feel that this album, although it's not tearing up your early stuff by to any extent, it is almost like a reinvention and incorporation of the early stuff to say, this is more important and this is me, which is why I think this is such a fantastic album. So it's sort of, you know, I just want to draw comparisons between you and Borchardt in terms of what he did and what I feel that you have done. Do you see it in that way, or do you see it completely different?
No, it's completely as you say. And I mean, I was growing up and I increased my abilities a lot over the years. And also with the help of my friends, I learned a lot from my first collaborators or co-producers like Andy Thoma when we produced my first album, Time Pie. He was one of the most important artists I ever met in my life. And this was so helpful for me. And after that, for the second album with some other musicians I work with, friendly guys, you know, friendliness is always an important thing to me. Otherwise, work is not possible. But Stefan Lindlar, we made a lot of songs for my second album, Eloquence, and some collaborators which I worked with, you know, all of this helped me to find my way more and more. And as said, increasing my abilities has also to do with my education, of my sight of the world and every experience I had on the street, on the streets through my life. And also my wife, who is Turkish, we live now since 25 years together. So we have Silberne Hochzeit this year. I could not believe that we stayed together so long, you know, and I learned so much about her and her culture, even if we have not so much Turkish melodies inside. But she likes my music, and she also says, you changed so much since the Time Party. And it was that year when we came together since 1997. So she also sees that. I think people must have a street on their artistic life to collect everything what can be valuable for their work, you know. So the friends which I collected on my way, they are the most important and the valuable thing I can ever announce today, especially Peter Dugal, who is my partner and my musical friend since 5 years. He is from England. He is in Birmingham born, and he lives in a small town, Hampton Bridge. And we work since 5 years, we work together on this album. Not all tracks on this are with him, because meanwhile, I had also started with Hajo Leverenz from U96 and his partner Ingo. And we already had made some collaborations for their album. And I took some of their tracks and changed them completely to different themes with my lyrics and my melodies inside. So they were pretty astonished what I made with their soundtracks, you know. At least they come from the techno music, you know, and they never made pop music, never made so much with lyrics and strophes and verses and choruses. So this is something what I learned very good. I know very well what a pop song has to transport, what has to be inside to have to tell a good story inside. So, I mean, you must be a storyteller in the first sight. You must have a theme, something to tell to the people. If you sing or if you speak, no matter. But if you don't have anything to say, you are a musician and make soundtracks. This is how I met Peter. Peter's soundtracks really touched me. I heard them on SoundCloud. He recommended me some quotes. I loaded them down. I said, wow, this is something really good. This is film music to me. I have very good ideas. When I hear something, I'm inspired. And then my imagination is spreading and glimmering and, you know, and suddenly I have an idea, a theme to it. And that first was the first, we worked on Birmingham, a city in England, the second, you know, Birmingham. I mean, I fell in love with Birmingham, not only because it's the hometown and the birth town of Peter, his huge family is living there. I was invited so often to this wonderful and friendly people. And I played pretty often in clubs, my Musik Soldat live show there, and always had good experiences. So when I heard the soundtrack, which was already named from Peter Birmingham, I said, let's make a pop song from it. Oh, would you mind? I said, yes, of course. It's important, you know, it's your city. And by the way, I shortly found out that my birth town, Frankfurt, and his birth town, Birmingham, are partner cities since many years. So why not doing songs about our birth cities, which anyway are partners now? Incredible, huh?
But also that Dusseldorf is considered, you know, sort of a glass city, and Birmingham is a glass city. Did you understand Birmingham in that way when you were there? Because also Dusseldorf, I don't know whether it's the fifth or sixth largest city in Germany, and Birmingham is always considered, you know, the second or third city in Britain. Yeah. So it has some sort of connection in that way.
Yeah, even if Dusseldorf has a bit more glass and more steel and more aluminium, because it was nearly totally broken down as Frankfurt. So we had to rebuild it and made it a bit more modern than Birmingham. But I love cities which are half and half, you know. I would love to have some more old houses in Dusseldorf from the last century or so. Unfortunately, we don't have. At any case, it helped us with Kraftwerk to make modern music which fitted to our neighborhood, of our surrounding. Everything what artists do describe their surrounding where we grow up. That's for sure. And if we have a nice nature and this wonderful, lovely, romantic rhyme, everything floats into our musical work, you know. It's inspiring.
I mean, before we get onto the track Birmingham, I just want to talk about the artwork, which is obviously behind you, and because this is a podcast, I will show some of this on social media, but because this is a podcast, people can't see it instantly. But it's also a combination between the old and the new, and it's the rebirth. It's got lots of sort of, you know, meanings within that, and it was created by a friend of yours, Marcus Luix.
Marcus Luix is a longtime friend from me. He's a photographer and graphic artist. And I learned him, I met him the first time also in the same year when I met my wife. She was my girlfriend then, and she introduced me to him. And she said, he's just in the end of his studies and he must make a book or anything for his last work, for his professor. And then I had already written my book about my time with Kraftwerk. I was a robot with this title. And I asked Marcus if he can make the layout for the book for the publisher. And he got a little money from them. And that was his first work. And I was really very, very happy. Since then, I know him. And I also can experience and see how he developed with everything he does with photos. He makes big exhibitions in Dusseldorf meanwhile, and he writes books about Dusseldorf and other books. And he made, since then, he made every artwork which I needed in books and albums, in sleeves. And this cover from Magazine One, which I have bought on an exhibition, it's behind me, 1 meter to 1 meter in this size, made me immediately accept this is very good fitting to my album, which was, the working title was Collaborators then. And I saw these two buildings as completely different characters, as collaborators trying to do something new, the old and new, and which always happened. Let's go back in 1997. when I was with Andy Thoma. He was young, I was old. So I was the brick, the broken house, and he was the new house. He was the steel guy. He was modern and so. But we did something new together. It fitted. And he said, we learned so much from you, Wolfgang, because we never go prepared into a recording session. We play Daily Mood. We go on our synthesizer and we play Daily Mood, you know? And afterwards we think, oh, what can we call it? Orange thing or so. Yeah. And I said, I come always completely prepared with a theme, with lyrics and melodies in my head. And I explain my collaborators what should happen inside. And so we start pretty good compared. It's easier then to come to results, you know. Yeah, with this picture, which I bought from him, he gave me the permission that I can use it on my album. That made him proud, of course. And then we had a celebration, I think it was in a restaurant. We sat all together with my friends and we spoke about that new album with all these different themes inside. And I said, he asked me, he did not hear any one of them. We were in the draft period. And I said, I can send you some drafts tomorrow. And when he heard them, he said, yeah, Wolfgang, what you spoke yesterday, that you have so many different themes. And he said, you leave like a paper mag or so. Then call it magazine. My God, it is a magazine. It's an audio magazine, not collaboration. Shit, forget that. It's magazine, you know. And you can leave through it. And every page has another theme, like People's Magazine or any other thing, you know. And he said, wonderful. Why did you not say that before? So that the theme was born, you know, and now we have magazine one and magazine two is already prepared for next year. Meanwhile, I think nearly 80% finished.
Now, you said, you know, it could have been called collaborators. It could have been called collaborators and lots of guests.
Yeah.
Because there are immense amount of guests. If we look at Birmingham, you've got Peter Hook, who's from Manchester. I mean, you know, Joy Division and New Order.
It's a wonder that it's a wonder that we want him, because the crazy thing is Andy McCluskey did not want to sing the song because he's from Liverpool and he did not want to sing a song about Birmingham. So he was against it. So I'm friendly with him. But Claudia did it very well, you know.
Oh, Claudia is just wonderful. But I just want to say this Birmingham, Liverpool, Manchester triangle. It's a little bit like Dusseldorf and Cologne. So there Correct. We have another connection going on. Claudia Brücken, of course, was in Propaganda. And she recorded this in the studio. How did that come about? Was she someone you approached or was that someone that Peter approached?
No, Peter didn't know her about that. Did not know all too much about Propaganda. And she was my second idea. My first idea was like on the last album, Miriam Suarez. She sang, she's from Essen. It's a city near Düsseldorf in the Ruhrgebiet. And she's half Spanish and half German. She has a wonderful voice. And she sang on my last album different songs. And I always wanted to have her to have a complete track to sing. Now she is the back singer in many of our songs, like also in Say No and others, but I could not reach her in that time. She's sometimes difficult to reach. I don't know why, but she's a wonderful and beautiful young girl, one woman meanwhile. And anyway, I did not reach her then. I tried and tried, and then I thought, who could sing the song? And suddenly, I don't know why, I came on the idea to ask Claudia, which I know since long. And I had met her the last time in Düsseldorf, I think it's 4 years ago, when this Kraftwerk concert was in the open air region, in the museum area, you know. And they had a big party afterwards without Kraftwerk, and many artists were there in the restaurant, in the brewery restaurant on Oststraße. Also the drummer of Duff, tell me the name. Robert Girl was also there. So many artists were there, and publishers from record guys and A&Rs, so many people. And Claudia was sitting between them with her girlfriend. Susanne. And then suddenly we spoke a little bit after the dinner in a bar where we all went and had some drinks, and I said, would you not do something with me once in the future? It was not already Birmingham, but just a talk. She said, of course, anytime, ask me then. And that came up, and then I asked her, I sent her an email, and she said immediately, yes, send me the melody, send me the lyrics, why not? Yeah, we sent her the background music, and I sang the songs with my, not so good singing. It was pretty bad, but that she at least, I was not a good singer, and I'm still not a good singer. But anyway, for this track, we needed a good singer, not with this speech singing style, which I present in the other tracks. But she said, it's lovely. It's really lovely. I love to do it. And she gave something from her own melody in the back, in the end of her, and of the melodies. And it was wonderful. When it came back, she said, I demand to sing it here, not in your studio in Düsseldorf, because I invited her to my home where I always record myself and I can do pretty well here. But she said, okay, I agree to everything. What's your idea? She said, Paul Humphreys, please. And I said, go ahead. And she did it there. She feels well with him. She was, I think, married with him. So they know each other very, very well. And it's good if you have a good connection to the technician or to the musician who's working with you. She does not know me musically so much. So maybe she was a bit shy, or I don't know. It was fine, at least.
I mean, you say that you're not a singer in inverted commas, but you've developed your voice over the years, and you hear that on this album. How has that come about? Because that must have been, some form of process over the years to do that. So how have you achieved that?
My label partner from Sherry Red Records, which is Barnaby Ashton Bullock, he's friendly with me. Meanwhile, we are good friends since the Eloquence album. He said, Wolfgang, there are some spots on the Eloquence album which I still like very much, and it's a start for you. I hear that. Do me a favor, sing more. Please, sir, sing. We love to hear your voice, even if it's not the brilliant orchestra thing, but we love Germans to sing. It's better than Ralph sings. So please do me the favor on the next album. I said, okay, sir, I try. And I took some lessons as well, I promise. And I had some good technique, and Peter is also helping me with a little bit auto-tune, but not much, he says. You are becoming better and better. And on the last track we recorded, he said, we don't need auto-tune anymore.
And there's still part two with Wolfgang Fluhr to come. I'll see you there.
When you save on auto insurance for driving safe with USAA Safe Pilot, you'll feel like a big deal. Even in a traffic jam. Save up to 30% with USAA Safe Pilot. Restrictions apply.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.